Again, good evening. I welcome you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight, our brother is going to stand before us today, as always. I know preaching up here, I desire not to hear my own voice, but certainly that the Lord would speak up for our brother, and I'd ask for your prayers for him, and I give you our brother and Elder Gary Jacobson.
No, it wasn't. But good evening to each and every one of you, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I was going to start off with a request, and it would be that you would provide your attention that I give, and that your hearts and your minds would be tuned in for this service, and that all things that you hear are what God has inspired me to provide this day. And I like the fact that our sister Debbie asked for that song. What was the name of the song again? Grand Old Flag, to be sung fervently. I look to do things in a fervent manner for the Lord, and I really appreciate when we put our effort towards things. So, you know, that gets us kind of, gets our blood going, gets our hearts pumping, gets us ready to go for whatever it is that the Lord has in store for us. And, you know, as I was studying for this service this night, the sermon, that I was inspired by God. And as usual, I really try to find the good things in life to be so thankful for. And the Lord has blessed, I think, each and every one of us with a lot of things, and especially this house of worship that he provides for us to be able to come and to hear the word preached and to be able to stand and to glorify him. It's such an honor and it's such a privilege. I'm truly humbled by all those things that the Lord does for each and every one of us in our lives. The courage that he gives us, the strength that he gives us, the ability to overcome things. And it's all through him that I can do those things that he gives me the capability of doing. And I hope that each and every one of us sees that the same way. So I wanted to start tonight because, with this, let me get it out of my backpack here. I just want to get the right thing. And no, it's not moonshine to help me get through the service, but it's a glass, and that's water in it. And, you know, I look at life in a lot of ways, and, you know, as difficult as life can be, I did a sermon up at the ranch one year. And it involved vacuum, but I'm not going to do that here because I don't want to make a mess and my mother-in-law will get all mad at me, because probably more likely it wouldn't work when I'm up on stage and we have nice carpet that could be ruined. But a lot of people, you know, in life can look at this in one of two ways, and I think you all know where I'm going with that, is if the glass is half empty, where's the glass half full? And, you know, everything that I try to do and put my efforts towards, I look at the glass being half full. And that's what really sometimes it could be difficult doing. Even in the darkest times and the darkest hours, you know, I think the Lord gives us the ability to still find that silver lining in the dark clouds, to be able to know that, you know, through all the troubles and trials of life, you know, he's still there for us. He still gives us what we need to make it through whatever difficulty that we're going through. And I just really have a lot of inspiration from God in the things that I do. And one of the things that we will be doing is we'll be doing this camp. And I really, you know, find it mentally tough sometimes to be able to go there because of not only was it something new to me and there's a lot of people involved, but just the responsibility in itself with young adults and their lives and the troubles that they're going through and the difficulties in their lives and trying to figure out how to deal with that and how to reach out to them. And one of the things I really, really anticipate is, you know, can we make a difference? Can we make a difference? And I'm preaching to myself tonight and trying to give me that fervent ability to be able to go there with the right frame of mind to help these young people to be able to see God and to understand who He is, to plant the seed, that Word of God, within their lives. And it's a wonderful thing because, you know, I think I started this, will be my fifth year this year. And the first year I did this, went to the camp and helped out with all these young people. I was shaking in my boots. I was really terrified by all these young people. But as time goes on, as I overcame those things and immersed myself among these young adults and had my peers to guide me and to direct me and to see and to be fashioned in a way to where I see how they handle young adults and be able to reach out to them, it really gave me that strength and that ability and that courage to do so myself. And every one of them will give the gratitude and the glory to God for doing so. And so one of the things that I see in the young people is, and I talked about this in our Sunday school class with Aiden and Alex this morning, is the ability for those young people that are established in the gospel, that are established in the church, to be able to reach out to some of these other young adults who struggle, that have troubles, that have very, very real difficulties in their lives, and to be a light and to be a beacon for Christ and for God, to be able to lift them up and to let them know that there is a way that they can make it through these difficult times that they're having, to be able to look to God for those things that they have in their lives. And one of the things that we talked about was our spiritual maturity. You know, where are we at in our spiritual walk? Are we mature in what we do and how we do it and how we act and how we relate to others? Or are we still just in the beginning stages? Are we developing those things? And a lot of these young adults that we deal with at the camp are really just getting started. They don't really know all the goodness of the gospel. They don't know the truth of the gospel. And that's what we try to do, is try to lead them in that direction. Let them understand that there's someone there for them at all times. And so, you know, these are steps that we take. It's like a process that we go through and in our lives, in our spiritual walk, and we go from, you know, being very, very, I call it green, but not having the knowledge of which we can have when we first get started. And when we start to learn and when we start to develop, we take things to the next level. We start having a more serious understanding of what it is that church provides, what it is that God provides in our lives, and how that is so important to each and every one of our spiritual walks. And that's so with this, and that's one of the things that we want to do, is give these folks, the young people, hope to know that in their lives they have the ability to be able to reach out to God, and that He's there, and that He hears them, that He understands them. And each and every one of us has that ability too. We all share this ability that God gives us to be a light for Him and to be a beacon for others and to set an example and to walk that walk that Christ has walked and to give people that desire to follow after Christ so they can start learning about Him and understanding Him and seeing how Christ works in our lives and giving us the avenues to which we can make decisions that are good, that are fruitful for Him and for others that are around us. And so that's my hope, is that, you know, with the talents that the Lord gives each and every one of us, we could use those to our fullest capabilities. And I know that in our class this morning, you know, each and every one of us, I was telling Alex that I could relate to him. You know, we have both a really good sense of humor, and, you know, we were laughing about that and how that relates to others. Aiden, he's knowledgeable, he knows what he's doing, he's serious about things, and he could take a serious approach and how that relates to others. But once we are baptized, once we start in that walk towards God, we got to apply those things, those features, those characteristics that the Lord gives us, and work with others to be able to let them know that we are who we are, and we are God's children. And it's good, and it's a blessing to be able to glorify Him in those things that we do and to help others out and to be a part of that. And so with that, I'm going to start in the book of Ether on page 746. And I'm kind of leading to something here, so just bear with me. Because I know that this world that we live in is very difficult, not only for us adults, but for the young people. And it's probably going to become more and more difficult as we go on. And it says on page 746, I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read in chapter 5 of the book of the Ether, verses 4, 9, and 10. It says, "Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety of hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God." And it says, "But because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way, that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore you may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if you will but have faith." And so that's something that we have to understand, that, you know, if we're going through life, we need to know that there is a way prepared, and that way was prepared by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ and God the Father leads people to them. If our hearts and our minds are in the right place, we can lead others to God as well. We can plant that seed, that word of God, within others and let them be able to see that there's more to this world, and we can have a better world if each and every one of us are doing our part. If we're looking to those things that God has for us in our lives, abounding in those good works, then we know that that will make a adverse effect on others that are seeking after God, or that don't even understand what the gospel or God is all about. So what would we have to do? We have to work hard. We have to gear towards those things. We have to understand that we each have a part in this walk of life that we have for God. And that we have to understand that, you know, in this life, that we are God's children, and others look at us, and we are looked at in a way to where we have to be a light for Christ. So in Matthew, I'm going to go there. In chapter 12, I'm going to read just a couple verses. I'm going to read verses 35 and 37. It says, "A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall be given account thereof in the judgment day. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And I was looking up that term, idle word, and that word in Strong's 6092 means inactive, lazy, useless, and barren. And that's something that we need to be aware of, and we need to look at ourselves in our lives. You know, if we sit idle and we aren't doing anything, or we aren't speaking those things that can reach out and touch somebody's heart, you know, is that fruitful for God? Is that a benefit to our spiritual walk in this life? Is that encouraging others? Are we just getting by? Are we just doing those things, going through the motions of what it takes to get through the day? It takes strength and takes courage to get up every day and to be able to follow after God and to stand up for which is right and to speak the words which are going to be kind, which are going to edify one another, to be able to say the right things and to do the right things, especially in the peer group or peer pressure that we have in this day that we live. You know, I was talking to these young men here about high school and some of the things that not only did I witness, but I partook of, but, you know, through Christ, I look back at those things and look and see that I need to speak to these young adults about these things, because if my words are idle, I am not only selling myself short, but I am not being fruitful for God. And it's important that, you know, if we have life experiences as adults, as fathers, as mothers, we need to make sure that our kids understand that, you know, this is why these things are good, and this is why these things are bad. You know, the lusts of the world, the flesh, how it has a desire to sin, these are the things that we need to share with our children to be able to give them an understanding that God is in our lives. He gives us discernment to do the right thing. He gives us the discernment to know what the wrong things are as well, and that we need to exercise that. Because in the end, each and every one of us stand before that judgment seat, and we're going to be judged by that which we've did and done. And not only that, by those things in which we've said. If we have an opportunity to teach, if we have an opportunity to edify, those are some of the things that we're going to be judged of. And so I want to go to James in chapter 1 and just read a few verses there. I'm going to read verses 21 through 25. If you'd like to follow along. It says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And that word engrafted, I looked that up too. That's on Strong 1721. And I thought on this for a little while, because the definition of that in Strong's is implanted. It's implanted. That word of God, that engrafted word, it's implanted within us to save our souls. And I think about that, you know, I think about how in our society some things are accepted, and, you know, is the human body designed to have these things that are just of our natural creation? Is our DNA structure, is this something that can be changed, can be altered? And this engrafted word of God, I believe that each and every one of us has this in our souls, and it's there, and it's that little seed that God puts inside of each and every one of us. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if he be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For behold, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed." And, you know, we need to look and see where we're going in life. We need to constantly be reminded and stay focused on this walk that we have in life. You know, that's why we come here. That's why we're commanded to meet together often. That's why we labor for the Lord. That's why we try every single day, as soon as our feet hit the floor, to be a light for Christ. And, you know, I kind of was interested in this, and some of the things that we've done at work, and it involved the Fitbit here, and the walker tracker is what we call it. So we had a challenge, and basically the challenge was to walk from Seattle, Washington to New York, and we had 2 years to do it. And, you know, there was rewards along the way. It was really cool because, you know, if you made, there was four destinations if you made it to, you know, within these 2 years, that you get a gift card to Sprouts. And what they're trying to promote is good health, good eating habits, that you're getting out, that you're walking, and that you'll see a difference in your life when you apply yourself with doing this. And I was really excited about it. And, you know, you get your first gift card, boy, this is $50. You know, it's a $50 gift card to Sprouts. I'm really happy about that, you know, especially with the amount of food that four kids eat. It's you know, it really is a burden lifted off your shoulders. So altogether, from Seattle to New York, it was $200-something altogether in Sprouts gift cards. And so really, I was ramping it up, I guess you would say. I was like walking every chance I could get. And, you know, it felt good. That's my point. It felt good to receive these rewards along the way. And I was really excited about it. And, you know, it was a burden lifted off of our family financially for our temporal needs. And we actually, you know, bought healthy things with it, so it worked out really well. Well, you know, I compared that to, you know, this walk in our life that we have. And I looked at some of the things. So altogether, that was about 4 million steps, and it took me about a year and a half to do it. And I felt really good along the way, and I accomplished something, these goals in life. And I looked it up, and it says this up, and it says, the average moderately active person takes around 7,500 steps a day. If you maintain that daily average and live until you're 80 years of age, you have walked about 216,262,500 steps in your lifetime. Doing the math, the average person with the average age stride living until 80 will walk the distance of around 110,000 miles. So that's a lot of steps. That's a lot of miles that we're all covering, you know, at the age of 80. So, you know, as a blessing from God, anything after that is just, you know, even more of a blessing and more steps to add in our lives. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, I wonder how many of those steps I actually walked with God or in the Spirit. You know, how many of those steps did I actually apply towards that, or will apply towards that in my life? You know, when I see that, oh, I've been baptized for 13 years, 12 years, about 12, yeah, 13 in September, 14, so, yeah, see, I stand corrected. And, you know, how many goals have I made in those 14 years? How many things have I accomplished in those 14 years because of God? What has God shown me? How many rewards have I received? It's in abundance. It's just so many that I can't even sit here and list them all out. But what a blessing that is. You know, I get all excited because I get a gift card, you know, after I walk from Seattle to Tucson, you know, and be on my merry way, and I get excited about that. But man, when you really look at it and put it in front of your face and on the table, what the Lord blesses you with throughout your whole life when you're walking with Him or in the Spirit, it's just an abundance of blessings that go on and on and on. And so that's what this life is about. This life is about our journey, our walk as Christians to do those things, to be fruitful for God. And in Matthew, you don't have to turn there, chapter 5, verse 41, I'm going to read that. So not only can we be blessed, but we can bless others. And in Christ tells us in the verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And that's where, you know, we have to look at ourselves and we have to understand, you know, am I walking this walk in life for me? Am I doing it just so I can get where I want to go? Or am I walking in this life to be able to get where God is leading me, where He wants to take me, and who He wants me to bring with and sometimes carry along the way, because they're struggling, they're hurting, they're having difficulties, and they need to be lifted up. And in Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have to be looking at that. We have to be understanding that the Spirit is there working with us and within us, that seed, that Word of God is within us, and we have to put that to use. We have to help others out. And so, are we taking steps forward in our life? Yeah, every day we're taking steps forward. But let's look at ourselves and examine ourselves on a daily basis and make sure that we're not taking steps back. You know, that we're not going the wrong way or being misled in a different direction, having others lead us down the wrong path. You know, stand up for what's right within your groups, within those people that you communicate with. Stand up for what you believe in. Understand what you believe in. Have that. Have that fervent ability to be able to stand up for God and to glorify Him. So I'm going to go and I'm going to read a couple verses here. I'm going to go to Luke, well, just actually one out of Luke, you know, and it's, everybody might know where I'm going with this. Luke 9:62, it says, and Jesus said unto him, this is, no man having put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. And, you know, some of these things that we've heard this scripture in the past, but I just thought it was a fit. I thought it was a fit for this because, you know, God gives us so much, and He gives us a lot of freedoms to do things, abilities to do things. We have the capability of being educated. You know, if we're set on a path and we understand where we're going, make sure that we're not looking back at all those things that were wrong in our lives. But even if we're starting today, look at those things in our lives and on that path that we can do so we're walking in a spirit to be able to glorify God and to plow that path for somebody else and to be able to plant seeds within that path along the way so that somebody else can have the ability to see that glory of God, to see His blessings in their lives. So I'm going to go to the parable of the sower. That's in chapter 8 of Luke. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 15 really quick. And it says, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." I think that we can all kind of relate to that in the last few days that we've been dealing with this extreme heat. My family and I went out for a walk last night, and as we're walking down the sidewalk, the gray clouds were off in the distance, but nevertheless, you know, as you're walking down any sidewalk that's kind of close to a desert in Phoenix at this time of year, every plant that was there, you know, you have the rocks on the right, the road on the left, and there's that little seam in the sidewalk, that crack there, where at one time, there was actually a lot of grass and plants, weeds and all there. But when we were walking yesterday, I should have taken a picture of it. It was just completely golden brown. And it was fun to walk on because I like to listen to the sound of the crunch of the dead plants underneath my feet. But nevertheless, the point is that none of these plants had any moisture for a given amount of time. You know, it doesn't rain too much here in Phoenix, but man, those plants were really, really feeling it. And they were gone. They were dead. But that's what I thought about when I was reading these scriptures. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, are we listening? Are we listening to God? Because, you know, it's kind of in our household, probably not so much now, but as we're trying to train up our child in the ways of the Lord, you know, we really want them to hear, not just to listen to us, but to hear what we're saying, because it's important to them. Because if we can do this and establish this within their hearts when they're young, then when they're older, we know that they're going to not fall away from the ways of the Lord. And so it's, you know, the Lord is saying this. God, Jesus is saying this, that he that hath ears, let him hear. So this is important. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which is honest, and a good heart, having heard the word, kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience." You know, when I think about that parable, and I think about the goodness of giving, and how we can be capable of doing those things to bring forth fruit for the Lord, but it takes patience, it takes understanding. I was going to bring two samples of soil. I didn't do like serious core samples or anything, but you know, I got this here, and man, maybe next time, that's some good soil there. I don't know if all of you can see that, but compared to the soil that's out in our deserts right now, it's really full of nutrients. It's rich, it's well kept, it's moist, it's ready to be planted in, it's ready to be able to grow something. And that's the good soil that God is telling us about. That's where we need to be planted, so our roots will go deep and be established. And then when the heat come, we're not going to wither away like a weed in a crack and just be gone and be done with. But the thing is that, you know, I looked at it as, you know, we have this whole land and we are given this land and we have all these freedoms to be able to do things with it. You know, it's kind of, I related it to the young men in my class this morning that, you know, it's kind of, I looked at it as if I was a farmer and I was given all this land, 100 acres of land, fertile soil to be able to do whatever I will with it by the Lord. And if I took just what I wanted to do and only had a desire to do, you know, I probably wouldn't be able to maintain that property. But if I did what the Lord wanted me to do, you know, this is something I would put all my effort into, all my work into, because I know that if I planted all these seeds in the field, I could grow all kinds of stuff to be able to provide for all kinds of people. You know, that's what's important. If God gives us all of these talents, are we actually using them to the best of our ability? Or are we going to just look at what the Lord gives us and say, this is pretty much good for me and my family, and I'm good with that? We have to look at it in a bigger picture. We have to look and see what we can do for others and how we can provide for them, whether it's temporal or spiritual. And it says in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to go there now. I'm kind of going fast here. Chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver. That's important. You know, what is our purpose in life? You know, is to serve God. And if we're doing it grudgingly, you know, is that really being fruitful for God? No, it's not. Are we just doing it for ourselves because this is all that we need? This is our necessity in life, and that's all that we need to sustain ourselves? That's not what God expects of us. He expects more of us. He gives us the abilities to do so. It says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that word abound in Strong's means an abundance, enough and to spare, exceed or increase. So, you know, God has this grace for us that is just so abundant that we're going to have more than we even know what to do with. We're going to be just having it. And if we look at ourselves and examine ourselves, we'll see that if our eyes are open, if we're listening to the Lord and hearing those things that He has for us to do, and especially following up and doing them. Okay, so with that, I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 6. I'm just going to read a few verses there, 2 through 9. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I like that statement, the verse of, but let every man prove, and that word, his own work. And that word prove is to test, to discern, to examine. And, you know, I always think about, to test something, to examine something, to discern something. You know, if we have a project and we're working on it, say I'm working on the sprinklers to help my grass grow, to make it greener. You know, I'm going to put it all together. I'm going to get the different valve assemblies. I'm going to get the solenoids. I'm going to put the wiring, the control box. And this is my work. And the effort that I'm putting into it. And before, you know, I just let it go and walk away from it, you know, I'm going to make sure everything's working right? I'm going to make sure it's functioning properly. I'm going to make sure that the job I did is going to be suited for what the work that needs to be done is. And then when I examine it and everything's good, I'm going to move on and I'm going to go to my next job and I'm going to do the next thing and then the next and then the next. But if we do those things for the Lord And if we are continuously thinking about applying what it is that we're doing and how we could benefit not only to glorify the Lord, but those benefit those that are a part of it, then we will be blessed in doing so. And other people's burdens will be lifted as well. I'm going to go to page 147 in the second book of Nephi. I just have a few more verses here. So page 147. I'm going to read 95 through 99 first. It says, "For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world, for he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore, he commandeth that none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay, but he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, buy milk and honey, without money and without price." And then let's jump over to verse 112. And it says, I'm going to read through 115. "And he doeth nothing, save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile." We all have this opportunity. God draws all men, women to him. Bond free, everyone. And he does not work in darkness. And we know that, you know, the one thing that God is he is the truth, and he gives us the truth. And through his truth, we can overcome those things in which the world tries to deceive us into believing. So in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world." I looked that up. That's the principles of the world. "And not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We are so blessed when we walk with Christ and we let the Spirit guide us in our footsteps in this life in which we walk. When we don't look back, when we don't stray off the path, how the Lord blesses us. We have each other to be able to rely on. The Lord gives us the ability. He gives us abundance. He gives us his grace. He gives us his love and his kindness and his temperance. He has long suffering for us. Are we sharing that with others that are around us? I hope so. That is my hope, because when we do that, we establish a better world in which we live in. When we're alive for Christ, everybody is blessed by it, whether they know it or not. And they have an opportunity to see that. And we can be that opportunity to draw them closer to Christ through his Spirit working through us. And just like in Jeremiah, I'm going to read, let's just go there real quick. I'm going to just read a couple verses there in Jeremiah 17. You all know where I'm probably going with this one. I'm going to read 5 through 9, 8. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And in Psalms 92:13, it says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." So, are we abounding in that good work for the Lord? Are we setting that plow to the soil and carving that path for Him without looking back? Are we looking to be able to plant the seed, that Word of God, in individuals that are around us? Are we keeping that, our eyes and our ears and our focus on those things which the Lord has for us? Are we putting away and aside all that philosophy of the world and seeking after the truth of God? I hope, that is my hope, and I have faith in God that each and every one of us can overcome those things and we can be established in the faith and be able to teach and be able to abound in those things with thanksgiving. You know, and the Lord promises each and every one of us that we'll reap that life everlasting when we apply these things in our life, when we do those things. And with that, we look at life, you know, like a glass of water. Are we looking at it half empty or half full? The Lord could do amazing things, you know, even when we're looking at life with a glass that's half empty. You know, the Lord changes things in our lives, and He can give us a new concept, a new perception on things, and be able to teach us things so we can overcome. And that's a lot of the struggle that we have, is a lot of us get set in our ways. We don't think about those things that we need to change in our lives and those things that we need to examine and how we can reapply ourselves. But I know that through God and through prayer that He gives us that capability. And sometimes it takes courage to do that. But to do the right thing, to stand up for that which is right, has such a good effect on those that are around us. So I would ask, and I'll be praying, that us as a people, as a body of Christ, have that true desire to serve Him, to be able to seek after those things, and to be constantly aware of those things and opportunities that the Lord gives us to do. So if He brings that into your life, if He introduces it to you, that you make sure that you take full advantage of that, and the Lord will bless you richly. So may God bless each and every one of you. May you be praying for all those that will be going to the teen camp, and those that are watching. God bless you as well, and I thank you for your time.